That's ex-pastor Steve McGee.
Not yet.
Actually, it does seem a little strange to sit on this side. I do want to, before I start my sermon, I do want to thank everyone for the last 2 years. I know that from time to time, probably more often than not, you've been exasperated with me and some of the things I've done and said or haven't done, but I appreciate your patience with me, all of you, all the committees. I do appreciate you. Especially appreciate a couple of men, Rick. I know for a fact that some of the things I pulled on Rick, he was very exasperated with me, but he's always there. Rick is always there, ready to do. And I have very much appreciated our brother Rick. And Jerry, I think he's added a new dimension to our little local here in music and support and support of everything. If you haven't noticed, Rose and Jerry are everywhere all the time, and I do appreciate that. But it has been a pleasure to serve you in my meager way, and it's a pleasure to stand before you this morning and present what has been on my mind, on my heart. Present it in such a way maybe you can hopefully you can understand what I'm trying to present. I'm going to read some familiar scriptures, some of my dearest scriptures to you this morning. Am I echoing? Okay. I'm going to turn to Hebrews, the 5th chapter, to begin with, if you'd like to follow along. Even if you don't want to follow along, why don't you turn to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. See if I make a mistake, and undoubtedly I will make a few mistakes. Starting with the 12th verse. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And in reading on into the 6th chapter. Therefore, because of this, therefore, you know, in those first three verses I read, Paul is talking to these Hebrews who have, who are Jews, converted Jews, and they were used to following things in order. What was presented to them, they followed, and this was their religion. And it was a type of milk. And he is sort of chastising them a little bit for carrying that on into their Christian beliefs. He wants them to get them, wants to lead them or encourage them to go beyond just following what is laid out structurally for them and really get into the meat of the gospel. And after he somewhat chastises them, he reads into the 6th chapter. And he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God and of doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. This we will do if God permit. Going on to that perfection. For it is impossible for those who have once tasted and were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they fall away again to renew them again, pardon me, if they fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. I want to emphasize verse 4 again. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. And if they have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they fall away again to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. And I have a question for you. Have you tasted of the heavenly gift? Have you tasted of the heavenly gift? Have you become filled? Or have you ever been filled? You know what it is to taste. You know what it is to taste. You know what it is to be filled. Obviously, I know what it is to be filled. We're called to be filled. This is what Paul was trying to address to these people. Not to be satisfied with tasting just the milk, but to be filled with that heavenly gift. And I believe that everyone here has been a partaker of the Holy Ghost. But have we been filled with the Holy Ghost? And are we filled with the Holy Ghost? Have we moved beyond the milk and are we into the meat? Have we been ruled by that Holy Ghost in our lives? Are we being ruled? Are we allowing ourselves to be ruled? I want you to ask yourself that questions. Those questions. Give yourself a chance to think about it. Maybe some of your answers would be never. Maybe, sometimes, rarely. What's the answer? Are we too busy? Are we too busy? Are you too busy for the Lord? That's what I'm asking you this morning. Are you and your lifestyle too busy for Jesus Christ? And I'm not talking about coming to church Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and Wednesdays. I'm talking about all the time. When you leave here, I go to work Monday, you go to work or school or whatever you do, are you too busy? Do you allow time for Jesus Christ? Now I want to ask you another question, and I want you to think about this, because I did. When in your life have you been closest to the Lord? Think about it. I mean, just think about it. When were you the closest to Jesus Christ? I'm going to give you a list of a few times when I know without doubt I was the closest to Jesus Christ. And these don't necessarily come in chronological order. They just popped into my foolish little head as I was thinking about this. And the first one I can remember happened about 19, 20 years ago. And I really, really got close to Jesus Christ because of a circumstance. Some 19 years ago, my wife, Melissa, went into the hospital with pneumonia. And while she was in the hospital with pneumonia, they saw that she had a lump upon her breast. Am I correct? And it's about 19, 20 years. Thank you, dear. And in that period of time, maybe I had never been real close to the Lord up until that time. Maybe I hadn't. But in that time in which we were worried and concerned, it was one time as they were wheeling her in, and after the doctor had told us the circumstances, and he had a very good bedside manner, and put quite gingerly and delicately that she may come out without one of her breasts. And as they wheeled her in, and as I said goodbye, I found the chapel, and it was one of those times when I found myself really, really, really talking to the Lord. Really, really pouring out my soul to our Heavenly Father. Another time when I really became close to Jesus Christ, or I got close to Jesus Christ, was later on in my life when I became ill. You're going to see a pattern here, I think. And I became quite fatigued. I don't think my boys really realized that I was ill, because I still went to work and came home. Couldn't do much else because I was so fatigued. Bruised real easily, knew something was drastically wrong with me. Was administered to several times, prayed and talked to the Lord like I should. Another time, not quite as long ago, is when my father died in my arms, and I spoke to the Lord quite hurriedly, but no less sincere for him, and he was brought back to life. Other times when Kevin was healed and Terry was healed, when my boys were baptized, whoa, was I close to the Lord. I know they were close to the Lord. These are the times in my life that I really felt closest to our Heavenly Father. You see the pattern? You see the times when I was really close to our Heavenly Father? When I really, really, really needed Him. When I really was at wit's end. When I really was in desperation. And I really went to Him with a problem. It's one of those times when I just didn't go through the motions. And you all know what I'm talking about. Everyone in this building knows what I'm talking about. It's one of those times that I just didn't go through the motions of praying. I didn't go through the motions of kneeling and talking to the Lord because I felt I had an obligation to do so. It was because I needed him desperately. You know, in Matthew it talks about that. It talks about how to pray. They ask Jesus how to pray. And he told them not to use vain repetition. They told him, or he told them, not to pray to be seen of man. But I do that occasionally, not to be seen of man, but because of the obligation. Guess what? No better when I do that than those scribes or those Pharisees. But the Lord's always been close, even in those times. He's always been close to me. But I've not always been close to him. Am I too busy? Am I too busy for the Lord except when I've got problems? Yep. I sure am. I sure am. The best times, absolutely the best times in my life, or when I've received those blessings after seeking him. Nothing compares in my life. So does this happen daily? No. Can it happen daily? Or maybe a better question is, should it happen daily? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Where did God go during these times? You know, it says he changes not, but maybe more apropos to this situation, he moves not. You know, he moves not. He's up there, or right here, or right there, and he's hearing me right now, just as plainly as he heard me in my desperation. He's looking within me and seeing my thoughts now and my wants as he did when I was desperate. So where's the deficiency? Where is that deficiency? I think I know. I know. It's in me. What are we lacking? What am I lacking in my life that I can't be close to the Lord every day like I was in those few instances? What am I lacking? What are we lacking, are you lacking, if the circumstance fits? And I can tell you right now, the circumstance fits in all of us. I want to turn back into Hebrews. The 10th chapter. Starting with the 12th verse. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting his enemies be made, till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he hath said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, beyond the milk. Beyond the milk. And in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, the boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. After baptism, right after baptism, right after hands were laid upon you, weren't you excited and weren't you ready to live that new way? Right after my wife was healed and brought out of that operating room, and I knew everything was fine, and I knew that the Lord had answered not only my prayers, but your prayers, was I ready to live a new life? Was I ready to be meek and submissive and be Christ-like? You better believe I was. Right after all three of my boys, each one was baptized, was I ready to change my life and thank the Lord? And yes, I was. Yes, I was. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Do you look at your belonging to the Church of Jesus Christ as your profession? Or do you look at it some other way? Do I look at being a mechanic as my profession? Or do I look at being a Christian as my profession? Something that I do every day. Something that I get up and I prepare myself for every day. It's a good question. Do you get yourself out of bed in the morning, and it doesn't take me long to get ready in the morning. Not much hair to comb. Actually, not that many teeth to brush anymore. Wear a set of ripped up coveralls most of the time. Doesn't take me 5 minutes to get ready to walk out the door. But there is preparation. How well do you prepare yourself in the morning when you jump out of bed for your profession of being a Christian? Are you prepared? Or do you go out and if it happens, great. If it doesn't happen, oh well, it'll happen tomorrow. This is a daily thing, folks. This is your profession. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and the good works. Let me present it to you this way. And I am hopefully provoking you unto what? Love. That is your profession. The love of Jesus Christ. That is your profession when you took upon him your name. No other profession. This other thing that I do is something just to provide something that's material. that schooling that you're going through is just something so you can provide for yourself some material needs. But that's not your profession. Your profession is the love of Jesus Christ and promoting it. Not when I feel good after the Lord has blessed me, but every day of my life, that is my profession. Some 20-something years ago when I was baptized, I promised to do that. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. To emulate Jesus Christ. That's what I've been called to do. That's what you've been called to do. To live our lives as Jesus Christ lived His. You know, if you turn, and I'm not going to turn to it, but in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, first two or three verses in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it describes Jesus Christ. And it describes Him as not an attractive man. No particular marvelous characteristics. He was not the Jeffrey Hunter type that you see on King of Kings. That was not Jesus Christ. There was nothing that caused Him to stand out of a crowd physically. Not a thing. Average height, maybe below average height. Not a good looking person. You know, he may not have had a whole lot of gifts either. He may not have spoke well. I don't know. He may have had trouble speaking. But I tell you what he did have and what he carried with him. He had a boldness. And he had a boldness to do the will of the Father. That was his profession. That was what he was sent here for. To do the will of the Father. You know, I think about and look back at my life and think about back when I was in high school, speaking about not being able to speak easily. You know, there was a time in high school, probably, Kevin probably can't relate to this, Steve can relate to this, that I took a C in a course rather than an A because I wouldn't get up in front and say a word. And it was not because I was stubborn. It's because I couldn't do it. I couldn't stand in front of a group of people and talk. You know, I wasn't like Randy Sheldon. Can you believe that? Randy can, I can't, I dare say Randy was able to talk to people when he was two like that. He's really been given a gift. Yeah, I can't imagine Randy not being able to talk to anybody. But that was not the case for me. I had a real difficult time. My wife will relate many times when we used to go to, Belinda will probably remember that, we used to go to, what's that guy's name? Tony's house for classes. And Tony periodically for months would ask me if I could say the closing prayer, and I'd tell him no. And it's not out of disrespect. I couldn't do it. But you know, the Lord has somewhat overcome that for me. Not totally. There are times when it does come back. And I can't stand up in front of a group of people. It does come back. But I know that the answer is to be bold for Jesus Christ. I know that's the only way that I'm going to overcome that. Out of 2 Peter, the third chapter. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. That's what I'm attempting to do this morning. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the prophets and of the commandments of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? And he's not talking about just on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings. In all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the day, the coming of the day of the of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, do you look forward to these? Are you looking forward to the day of the Lord? If you are, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. What did he just describe? In peace, without spot, and blameless. Name me a person like that. What's the first one comes to your mind? Jesus Christ. What's he saying? Be found like Jesus Christ. Why? Why? It's the only way he's going to recognize us. It is the only way he is going to recognize us. You know, I mean, I'm excited. I'm not excited about not being pastor anymore because I've enjoyed the last 2 years. But I am excited. We've got an I was going to say a new pastor. Larry's not really a new pastor, is he? And we've got a time to start again. A time to get rejuvenated. A time to get excited. A time to serve instead of being served. And that's what it's all about. A time to serve. In the Book of Mormon, I better turn to it. Page 211. It's starting with the 39th verse. This is a proclamation. For I have not commanded you to come up hither to trifle with the words which I shall speak, but that you should hearken unto me, and open your ears that you may hear, and your hearts that you may understand, and your minds that the mysteries of God may be unfolded to your view. You know, we talked about that. Did we talk about that in Sunday school, I think? I think Rollin brought that up, about the mysteries of heaven being unfolded to your view. He describes how that will happen. And I have not commanded that you should come up hither, that you should fear me, or that you should think that I of myself am more than a mortal man, but I am like as yourself, subject to all manner of infirmities of body and mind. This was a king. Yet I have been chosen by this people and was consecrated by my father and was suffered by the hand of the Lord that I should be ruler and a king over this people. And I have been kept and preserved by his matchless power to serve with all my might and mind and strength, which the Lord hath granted unto me. And I say unto you, that as I have been suffered to spend my days in your service, even up to this time, and have not sought gold, nor silver, nor any manner of riches of you, neither have I suffered that you should be confined in dungeons, nor that you should make slaves one to another, or that you should murder, or plunder, or steal, or commit adultery, or even I have not suffered that you should commit all manner of wickedness, and have taught you that you should keep the commandments of the Lord in all that he hath commanded you. And even I myself have labored with my own hands that I might serve you, and that you should not be laden with taxes, and there should nothing come upon you which was grievous to be borne. And of all these things which I have spoken, ye yourselves are witnesses this day. Yet, my brethren, I have not done these things that I might boast. Neither do I tell you these things that I might accuse you. But I tell you these things that you may know that I can answer a clear conscience before God this day. Behold, I say unto you, that because I said unto you I had spent my days in your service, I do not desire to boast, for I have only been in the service of God. And behold, I tell you these things that you may learn wisdom, that you may learn that when you are in the service of your fellow beings, you are only in the service of your God, and that's just not Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and Wednesdays. Do you want the mysteries of heaven open before your eyes? Do you want complete understanding? The way to it is service, as Christ served. Do you want to feel elation in your lives and in your hearts those few times that you have felt it in your life? Those few times when the Lord has served you and answered your prayers and raised you up or raised your loved ones up. You and I can have that every day of our lives by serving. By being Christ-like, as you promised you would. As you promised you would. This is something that I need to think about as I get out of bed in the morning, as I prepare myself for the day, as how I might better serve the Lord by serving someone else. I want to close out of 1 John, 2nd chapter. 1 John, 2nd chapter. Starting with the 23rd verse. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointed which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it is taught you, ye shall abide in him. That spirit that you received. That's what it's talking about. To be a partaker. Not just drink the milk, but a partaker of that spirit by partaking of the meat. To being filled with meat. That's what he's talking about. And now, little children, abide in him. Be Christ-like. Prepare yourselves. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence. Hey, I feel pretty confident. If he was to so happen to appear as he walks through that door, hey, I'm doing it. Hey, how about Tuesday at 3:30 in the afternoon when I'm at work and my hands are greasy and I've had a rough day and it's 100 degrees and he walks through the door? Will I be as confident? And not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him, what's he do? Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Spotless and blameless and in peace and in meekness. That is your and my profession. No other profession but that. When you went down in the waters and you came up again, that became your profession. Just not Frank and Rollins and Bills and Mikes and Buzzes. That became your profession. Sobering thoughts, but joyous thoughts. Knowing that in acting upon this profession, you can have within you that same feeling when the Lord has blessed you. That's those times when you thought all was lost and the Lord corrected it. That is available to you and to I every day of our lives. So it's not sobering. It's joyous to know that the mysteries of heaven can and will be opened unto you. And I hope and pray that each of us act upon the opportunities that the Lord gives us every day of our lives. Thank you.